Welcome to Living in Hi-Fi. I'm Steve.
And I'm Flissy. This is a podcast about records. Today's album is Wildflower by The Avalanches. It's released on Modular Recordings, July 8th, 2016.
So this is one of the most anticipated releases of the past 15 years. I had first heard about The Avalanches, I guess, in the early 2000s following the release of their first album, Since I Left You. That was originally released in 2000. And I thought it was an enjoyable album, but over the years, waiting for a follow-up, as I was waiting, I began to appreciate it more until now, where I feel it is one of the best albums of all time. And so, there were some rumors and, sort of ongoing speculation that they were going to come out with a second album, but it sort of never materialized, other than in 2008, they released sort of a compilation of various artists' album called After the Gold Rush. But then finally this year, I heard that they were releasing a second album, and so we immediately pre-ordered it from the Avalanches website.
You say that so calmly. Like, I feel like when I saw that Avalanches had a new single coming out, I think maybe that was the first time I heard about the album. Like, I completely freaked out. I didn't even think it was possible for them to make another album. I'd just pretty much given up. I was like, well, that was one time, a super amazing album, and I guess that's just all we're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, they are. It is one of, seriously, the world's best albums, and it's sort of one of those things where I was always like, well, what if they release a second album? What would that be like? And I'm like, well, I'm just glad that, you know, maybe they just flamed out after their first album, but they released something that was just perfect, and maybe there was nowhere else to go. And so, yeah, I mean, I admit that when I finally heard they were coming out with a second album, I was super excited, but also kind of curious and sort of with some trepidation about, is this going to be a worthy follow-up to their first release?
Indeed. So it's unusual that we do a review of a new album. We've never done it yet on the podcast, although we only have like 5 episodes so far, so it's maybe not a big deal. But I think what stands out about The Avalanches is like this album and Since I Left You, but both of these albums are just so clear that it's only people that are obsessed with music, and in particular obsessed with records. It's the only type of people that could put an album like this together. So that's, I would say, in addition to like us just being like gigantic fans, like it has some relevance to what we're doing on with our show.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about what this album looks like?
Sure. So on the cover is this flag that's sort of painterly, really graphic, psychedelic red, navy blue, yellow, white. And it's this flag made with flowers and stripes and a butterfly. And then on the back of the sleeve, it looks like one of those shiny jackets. I don't know what they're called. They have like
satin.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's like a satin jacket, the kind you see usually with like those knit cuffs. And it's black, and it looks like it's embroidered with the titles of the tracks on the back. And then on the inside, this is a four-sider album. And so on the inside, there are sleeves for the records, and one of them is like a quilted thing inspired by the flag cover on the front. And then there's another sleeve that has this cartoony image of Biz Markie, who's featured on one of the tracks.
So do we want to get to our first track?
Yeah, what did you pick?
So this is my pick from the album. It is called Subways. So let's take a listen.
You walk on the subway, subway. You walk on the subway, moves around. You walk on the subway, it moves around. So you go to see what you found. Thank you.
Okay, so this song, I thought, I don't know, it kind of immediately struck me upon listening to the album because of the vocals and the vocal sample that they picked. And so I guess it turns out that this is a vocalist that was sampled was a woman named Chandra Oppenheim. And she was, I guess, 12 years old when this was recorded. I guess that, you know, she lived in New York and was sort of, her parents were involved in the art scene, and I guess she was, you know, she had written various songs, and so she ended up with sort of having a band called Chandra, and they put out this album in 1980 called Transportation. I guess it was an EP. I think it had three songs on it. And so this has actually been recently re-released. It's available on Bandcamp, and we'll have links to that in our show notes. But I think this is a really great song because, I don't know, I mean, it's sort of an interesting combination of sort of a remix of this Transportation song, and sort of really made me curious to check her out and listen to the rest of her album. So I really liked it. What did you think, Flissy?
I liked it also, and it has this really funky, dancey quality. And I didn't realize that when I first heard this song and when you were listening to the Chandra EP that Chandra was 12 when she made that recording. But now it makes sense because I remember telling you that reminded me of the all-girl summer fun band, like classic lo-fi indie pop. And it makes sense. Like, I think maybe the all-girl summer fun band, they were teenagers when they first started making records. And it has this same sort of quirkiness that I think can only occur when you're just like, you're still young and you're still figuring things out. The lyrics aren't really very complicated, but it's not necessary for it to be complicated.
Yeah, when I was in high school, one of the projects that I had when I was a senior was to sort of put together, I don't know, a compilation of things that you had done earlier in your childhood. And so fortunately, my mom saved like all of the school papers or whatever that I had ever done. And so I was rifling through them and looking back at things that I had done earlier in life. And I was amazed at the creativity that I exhibited earlier in life. I was like, you know, I did poems or, you know, creative works that I was like, as a senior, I was like, I would have never been able to do this now. And I think that that's something interesting about that sort of age, you know, 12 years old, where I think you have that creativity, but you haven't yet convinced yourself that you're not capable of doing things.
Yeah, it's like you're fearless about it still. It's like you can just make stuff without having to be like, oh, like I shouldn't do this. I'm not even any good at it. You can just make stuff without any baggage.
Yeah. And I mean, actually, reading her biography, it sort of speaks to that, where I guess when she was in school after that, I think, you know, she had some teacher that made some sort of offhand comment about, you know, like her having like already hit her high and everything was downhill from there or something. And I think that that really, you know, she really struggled with that about trying to figure out like how to make things worthwhile after that. And so I think that really, you know, sort of got in the way of her continuing on with her musical career.
It's such a drag. If you're listening to this podcast and you want to make things, I highly recommend just making stuff. It's fun.
Yeah, who cares? You know, you think you can't do it, but whatever, you know, I don't know. I think you can make, you know, anybody can make whatever they want.
Yeah, we're making a podcast. We don't even know what we're doing.
Exactly. But anyway, you want to tell us a little bit about the Avalanches, Flissy?
Sure. So the Avalanches are some Australian artists. They're were originally four of them when Since I Left You was released, and now there are three of them.
Yeah, so the members are Robbie Chater, who plays keyboards, and Tony DeBlasi, who also plays keyboards and does some backing vocals, and James Delacruz, who does turntables and keyboards.
Right, okay. Darren Seltman was the one that was on Since I Left You, and then he left in between the time between this most recent album come out. He left and, you know, he had gotten married. He started a family. It just like there was no income from what the band was working on anymore. And so he just couldn't he lost interest in the project, it sounds like. Pat Shanahan is the lady who clears all the samples. So even though there are three DJs, at one time there were four DJs that were responsible for making all of the music. I don't know if the Avalanches would consider her an honorary member, but I consider Pat Shanahan an honorary member of the Avalanches because it wouldn't be available to listen to, or at least it wouldn't be available to listen to legally if she had not been the one to clear all of the samples. And when Since I Left You, that was released in November of 2000, and that album had something like 3,500 samples on it. So there was one person responsible for like tracking down, you know, who to contact. And some of the albums that are in the Avalanches recordings are super obscure. Like, I don't even know how you would begin to figure out, like, who do you clear this with? There's going to be like the artist have long been dead. Like the record label that was originally released on is like been bought out or sold off or doesn't exist anymore. So
yeah, I think that that's one of the interesting things about this and their other album is it was made up entirely of samples. I guess there was no original material that was involved in their production. Is that right?
There was no original stuff on Since I Left You, I believe. But on this new album, on Wildflower, there are live recordings. But a lot of the stuff that was recorded live was still like recorded live and then treated like an old sample. So even though there was stuff that was written for the album and then recorded, like it was still like cut up and sliced and rearranged, which is, I think, is interesting. And part of the delay of this new album was the time clearing the samples. And, you know, sometimes they would get something cleared and it had been so long that like their permission got revoked and they had to like start the process over again.
Yeah, I know that was a problem in the first album, that sort of when they embarked on the project, that, you know, they were just sort of sampling things and mixing stuff together and sort of sending it back and forth because I don't think that they were geographically co-located. And so, you know, they would sort of just find a sample, something that sounded interesting. And I don't think that they sort of tracked the provenance of their samples from the beginning. And so it sort of made it more difficult because they had to go back and figure out where all of the things came from in order to get the rights to release it.
And so, Robbie says that their music is about capturing feelings. And I think that is evident both in Wildflower and in Since I Left You. Like, both these albums, I think, are about, like, capturing an experience. It's like an arc. There's a journey that you go on from beginning to end. It's almost hard to distinguish one track from the other because they flow so seamlessly together. It's like one big piece that you listen to.
Exactly. That's one of the things that I really love about it, that there's, I mean, distinct pieces, but they flow together, and so you're never really quite sure where the beginning or end of one piece is, or, you know, the next. So let's get to your clip. What did you pick, Flissy?
So I picked the song Harmony.
All right, let's take a listen.
Harmony.
Okay, so what did you think?
What I like about this song is that it embodies, I think, the more late 1960s feel of this album. So I think Since I Left You had sort of a 70s disco-ish feel, and this one has a little bit more psychedelic, earthy sort of feel to it. And so that's what stood out to me about this one. And I like that it has a combination of this sort of 60s psychedelic, trippy and slow thing going on, and it also has this layer of hip-hop on top. It's a sample from some spoken word called Alphabetical Slaughter by this guy Papoose. So it has a really cool layered effect. It has like this tension between fast and slow and sharp and hard and abrasive and really soft and pretty. So I really like that sort of combination of stuff that's going on. And it has, this one does have some original record, like some new recording on it from this artist called Jaunty.
So that's actually very fascinating because I see where you're coming from. I mean, the whole feel of this album, I agree, is sort of a little bit maybe more 60s-ish than the first album, Since I Left You. But this album, or this track specifically, I think is interesting in that it is sort of most closely resembles the formation of the tracks on Since I Left You. I mean, one of the things that I really liked about that album is that it sort of layered these samples on top of each other, and so there was a lot of depth to the songs. And I would say this album overall is sort of, each song is more primarily focused on a single sample or, you know, a single source that sort of carries the song through. But this one, it sort of goes back to that formation of the songs from Since I Left You, of, you know, sort of weaving different samples together and forming a sort of a new song out of just bits and pieces of other things.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying with that. It's interesting. Like I think that there is maybe some more subtlety in the first album. Like there's a little bit more depth in the use of the samples, but some of the changes are so subtle that you have to be listening really hard to catch it, which can be interesting, but sometimes I think is a little repetitive. And I think in this album, there's a little bit more interest because it's a little bit more melodic for some of the songs. But there's still like some really weird moments in there. Like, and Since I Left You, I would say like the most weird moment is the Frontier Psychiatrist song. But in this one, there's Noisy Eater and Frankie Sinatra. And there's a lot of sort of funny business going on. It has a lot going on. There's some funny moments. There's some moments that are really sweet or sad. And there's some that are like just super dancey.
So what do you think overall, this compared to Since I Left You?
Love it. It's really growing on me. And I like the psychedelic feel right now. I've been listening to a lot of music from the 60s, kind of all of the time. I think that's our real life, is listening to a lot of music from the 60s. And I really like the way that they have incorporated live recording of things into this album. It gives it a continuity that's different from the continuity of Since I Left You, but I really like it. It feels a little bit more organic. I like the use of a lot of like street sounds and ambient sort of urban noise in the transitions in this album. And the whole thing is just growing on me. I love it.
So I think at least at the time of this recording, I prefer the first album, Since I Left You. And I think that was one of the albums that we really were hoping to do on this podcast. But unfortunately, we don't own it on vinyl, and it's going for like $500 on eBay now.
If you want to give us a gift, you can donate to our cause on our website. Yeah. If you give us $500, we can buy Since I Left You on vinyl, and then we'll make an episode and dedicate it to you.
But I hope that now with the release of Wildflower and, you know, greater attention being brought back to the Avalanches, maybe that will lead to the re-release of Since I Left You.
That'd be pretty awesome.
So, I mean, like we were talking about, these albums are definitely different. I think the reasons that I prefer Since I Left You right at the moment are like what I was talking about, where the songs I think were much more layered, and I think that they flowed together even better than this album. And I think from beginning to end, Since I Left You really, I mean, I'm not much of a dancer. I'm not really much of an emotive person when it comes to like listening to music, but Since I Left You really sort of makes you want to dance. And I think from beginning to end, it's just like, you know, it starts off and it builds and it's just, you know, it sounds awesome. And then it transitions to a next track and you think, oh, it's going to like back off a little bit, be a little bit slower. But then no, it just like kicks into something else and that just blows your mind. I mean, it's just, I think really, I don't know. I think it's just an amazing album. And I think you were saying that, you know, when Since I Left You first came out, you were like, is this something from an alien planet?
Yeah.
And I think it's just, you know, I mean, it's something that I think it's just been unparalleled. I haven't heard anything like it, you know, before or since. And this album is definitely fantastic. I think it's going to be sort of, I mean, it's definitely the like the album of the summer, but I think it, you know, might be my favorite album of the year. But I guess time will tell whether I think it sort of lives up to the, you know, like the towering legacy that Since I Left You has sort of built up into my mind.
Yeah, but definitely a summer album. I mean, it's like, it totally sounds like summer. This is going to be my jam for driving around.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the things I guess I should mention that I love about The Avalanche is not just this record, but this record also, is that it sort of is serving to introduce me to a lot of other artists. Particularly the song Frankie Sinatra is sampling a Wilmuth Houdini song. And so that got me learning more about him and, you know, Calypso music in general. And we already talked about Chandra. And from Since I Left You, it introduced me to Kid Creole and the Coconuts, which I thought was confusing because there's also a Kid Creole in the Furious Five, but I guess that is Kid with two D's, mm-hmm. where the Kid Creole who sings with the Coconuts is one D. So, and then also Sylvester, who was sort of a interesting you know, disco artist in the 70s and 80s. I don't know, it's sort of like once you start hearing artists from the Avalanches, you sort of start, you know, noticing it in other places, and I don't know, it's just kind of interesting.
Definitely. And we have a link in our show notes to an article on Triple J where the Avalanches break down all the tracks on the album and link back to the original samples. So this is one of the things that I mentioned earlier that I love about the Avalanches. They have listened to a ridiculous amount of music, and the samples, if you like, go back and listen to them, if you like go down the rabbit hole of where all these songs came from, you can see that they've like picked out the most poignant parts of every little bit of thing that they found. Like they've like gone out and fished out like the best of all the oddball things that they found and then rearranged it into something new, which is really exciting and interesting. And in our show notes also, we have a link to a couple videos about remixes in general, like remix culture, the process of putting old things and making new things out of old things. And we also have a link to a video about the Amen Break, which is the most, arguably the most sampled bit of music ever, which I would recommend watching with caution because, like Steve said, once you hear a little bit of a sample of something, you'll hear it other places. And that's certainly true in the Amen Break. You'll hear it everywhere and in the most random places.
Yeah, I mean, that Amen Break spawned an entire genre of music. So
yeah, it's a jungle.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're come to this podcast with an interest in stuff from the 60s, I think you'll enjoy this album, even though there is like a definitely more hip hop vibe. There's a little bit more electronica stuff, but I would say give it a chance even if you think like, oh, I don't like electronic music, I don't like rap. I think it will have appeal to people that enjoy stuff from the 60s, and it will definitely appeal to people who enjoy weird music.
Yeah, so for more information, take a look at our show notes at livinginhifi.com/episode/7. Follow us on Twitter at livinginhifi. Send us an email to feedback@livinginhi-fi.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/livinginhi-fi. And stay tuned for next week when we get back to some sort of Brazilian jazz music.
We'll seriously geek out about bossa nova.
All right. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.